morning, everybody. Come on, stand up across this room. Let's welcome the presence of the Lord in this place this morning. He's here.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Come to the table, He will satisfy. Taste of His goodness and find what you're looking for. For God so loved the world that He gave us His one and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in Him will live.
Welcome His presence. He's here. Let our hearts worship today.
Bring all your failures. Bring your addictions. Come lay them down at the foot of the cross. Jesus is waiting there with open arms.
Yes, He is.
Thank you.
sing about his mercy.
There's mercy in the waiting, and there's manna for today. And when it's gone, I know you are my hope and stay. When the sea is raging, your spirit is my help. You'll fix my eyes on Jesus Christ, and I'll say that it is well. Oh, I know that it is well, 'cause I'm fighting a battle.
Sing it. Turn to somebody you're standing next to and say good morning. Somebody needs a warm greeting this morning, and you can bring it. You can give it. God's power, His presence is here.
Thank you for the victory.
Amen. It's really good to be together. Amen. So let's continue to worship. We have one that's being baptized today, so let's celebrate with them and their family.
Well, good morning, church. We've got two coming for baptism today. This is Everett Reed, and Everett has grown up in church. His family has discipled him at home, and it's been a blessing to get to hear his story. A couple of months ago, Everett was at home, and one night during Bible story time with his dad, the Holy Spirit began to convict his heart. And at that time, he turned to his dad and said, "Dad, I want to know how I can have a relationship with Jesus." And his dad got to sit down and share about what it means to be a Christian, and he gave his life to Christ. He came to our new Christians class, and he's here today to let you know about his profession as Christ as his Savior. Everett, I'm so proud of the decision you made. I've got one important question for you. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Absolutely.
Love it. Amen, brother. Well, based on that profession of faith in him and obedience to Christ's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in new life. Amen. And this is Kyle Villarreal. I had to make sure. I wanted to say that. Kyle Villarreal. And Kyle's got an amazing story. Kyle had a friend who every single day, every morning, would text him John 3:16. Every morning at 4 a.m., he'd wake up and he'd see that text. And it was through that couple of months of that friend texting that morning he woke up and the Holy Spirit just began to convict his heart and he broke down. And he didn't know where to turn, but he knew he had one verse he could look at. And that was John 3:16. He gave his life to Christ and prayed because of what his friend did in sending that to him. Kyle, I'm so proud of the decision you made, man. I've got one question for you. Have you repented of your sins and asked Jesus Christ to be your personal Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Amen. Well, based on that professional faith in him and obedience to Christ's command, it's my privilege to baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Buried with Christ in baptism. Raised to walk in new life. Amen.
As the summer season approaches, let's remember that our ministries never slow down. In fact, they ramp up. So we're launching our annual Summertime Giving Emphasis to help us fund various ministry events and, of course, the day-to-day ministry of the church. This year, our church-wide goal is $12.8 million, including $3 million here at the North Campus between Memorial Day and Labor Day weekends. During these 15 weeks of giving, let's remember, we give because sharing the good news of the gospel is never placed on pause. We give because countless children and students will come to know Christ during Adventure Week and kids' summer camps and beach camp. We give because our summer activities will touch the lives of families who would not otherwise step foot in a church. We give because we are committed to traveling to the ends of the earth to serve on mission, telling people about Jesus. We give because consistent generosity through the summer months will propel our church towards another fruitful fall season. Thank you in advance for your faithful giving as we seek to make the name of Jesus known throughout our communities and the world. Stay up to date with your giving by visiting prestonwood.org/give.
Well, good morning. Well, my name is Lance Millsaps, and I have the honor and privilege of serving as our Next Gen pastor here at the North Campus. And I don't know about you, but nothing fires me up more than as the Next Gen pastor than to hear those two testimonies this morning in the baptismal, seeing a father disciple his son and a friend disciple his friend and seeing them come to know faith as a result of that. What a special, special morning to kick off. It never gets old, guys, to see how Jesus changes lives. And one of the things I'm most excited about, you saw the video here, and one of the things that is so great about your giving this summer is the ways that it gets to impact specifically our Next Gen ministries. You saw a video about Adventure Week and Kids Camp and Beach Camp. Those things specifically impact the ministries that I get to oversee. But I do want to say, I know last week Pastor Connor made a plea to our church to step up and fill in the gaps for Adventure Week to help us serve. And on behalf of our kids ministry team and myself, I would just like to take a minute just to say thank you to you for many of you who stepped up to say I'd be willing to serve. We're in a much better place. However, we could still use a few more of you. And so we do have over 2,000 kids that are signed up now to be a part of Adventure Week. It is the largest outreach we do as a church body. And so for us to have those many kids, that means we need the volunteers to be able to support it. So on your way out today, please stop by the kids' booth out in the atrium. Let them know of your availability. We would love to have you to invest in the lives of our kids this summer. If you are a guest today, we are so glad that you are here. We're so thankful that you came. If you are watching online with us, we are so thankful that you are joining us as well. We want to get to know you. We want to meet you. So you can text the word CONNECT to the number 55125 as a way for us to reach out to you, a way to follow up with you after being here, or we can meet you in the atrium right after service at our guest central table, where we just want, where our staff will be, and we'll be able to tell you how much we love you and are grateful for you being here, and a way to maybe even give you a gift to say thank you for being here today. Well, I do know that last night was a kind of a scary night for some of us. The storms that kind of came through, and up in Salinas specifically, I know in, as a neighboring community here in Prosper, we had some tragic storms come through that impacted a lot of families. And in just a little bit, Pastor Neil Jeffrey is here this morning giving us a message, and he's going to lead us in a time of prayer for those around us and give you an opportunity for ways that we can pitch in as a church and serve. But I do want you to know that our church family is thinking and praying about that and how we can come alongside our neighboring communities that went through that last night. You know, in John chapter 15, verse 13, it says this. It says, "Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends." And this weekend, and specifically tomorrow, we get to give honor where honor is due and memoriam to Memorial Day for those who have paid the ultimate price for our freedom. You know, a lot of us, we will celebrate that and on the lake or at the pool or eating good food and things like that, and we should. It's a great day for us to be together with friends and family. But at the same time, there are some of us in this room, maybe today, or we have friends and family that we know that this weekend is not an easy one because it's been another friend or family member who ultimately paid that price for you and I so that we could worship freely. And so this morning, I just want to take a moment to give the honor where it's due. And I just want to continue in worship by giving up a time of prayer as we thank the Lord for those who have served for us. So if you wouldn't mind joining me in prayer this morning. Lord Jesus, we come before you and we're grateful to have the opportunity to be in this room today where we can worship freely, that we can declare that you've already won. That, Lord, that we can proclaim that without any hesitation, without any worry of what the consequence might be, because we know that there have been men and women in years past that have gone on our behalf and that have laid down their life so that we could have the freedom that we so that we get to enjoy today. So, Lord, I pray for those friends and family members that this may be a tough weekend for, Lord. Your word tells us that you keep in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you. And so, Lord, we pray that our minds can be stayed on you, that you give us a peace that surpasses all understanding. That, Lord, your word tells us that you draw near to the brokenhearted and you save those who are crushed in spirit. And so, Lord, I'm asking today that you draw near to us, that we experience you in a way that we've never experienced you before. That, Lord, we sense your presence to be real. And, Lord, we just offer up a prayer of gratitude and thanksgiving for those who were willing to lay down their life so that we could worship freely today. But, Lord, we also offer up a prayer of thanksgiving that you would send your one and only Son to come and live a life that we could never live, to die a death that we deserve, so that we could have freedom from the chains and the bondage of our sin. And that one day we get to spend eternity with you. So, Lord Jesus, we give you all the praise that you are due. And it's in your mighty name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lance. I want to invite us all to stand. Ushers, if you'll come forward as well. Let's give our lives as an offering of thanksgiving to him.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say.
Just a song we sing, but we truly believe it, Lord. And Lord, I know there are people here today that are standing by faith because they don't feel you, they don't see you. But Lord, we recognize you are with us. And we praise your holy and mighty name. We trust you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Powerful worship today, church. Please be seated.
Well, good morning, everyone. So glad you're here on this Memorial Day weekend. And I'm Neil Jeffrey. And if I haven't had the pleasure of meeting you, I would love to. And I'm really a great guy. And I'd love to meet you. I always feel obligated to kind of start out with this, that I'm a stutterer. I will stutter. I do stutter. Have stuttered. I don't stutter as well as I used to stutter, but I still stutter, and it's always exciting, and it is for me. I know it is for you, and But anyway, I just wanted you to know that. Also, this morning early, Dr. Bales, Connor, called me. I was actually on the way over here, and just mentioned all of the storms which happened in Salina and here as well in Prosper, and also happened up north a little bit in Sanger and Valley View and so forth. And he just wanted us to pray as a church, to pray as a church on behalf of all of those impacted by this. And it's a lot. I've seen some of the pictures, what happened in Salina, and it's some people lost everything. And there's been some injuries, and I'm not sure what else. But Connor wanted us as a church to pray. And he also wants us just to be available. And this church, you know, if you know someone who's been impacted, just let them know we want to help. And just do whatever. We have mission teams. We have people who can respond. And there's a lot of things we can do. And we need to be doing as a church anything and everything we can do. But we want to pray today and just pray. And I was also asked to mention that there is a website you can go to, MinutemanResponse.org. MinutemanResponse.org, which if you there's information about just what's happening, what's needed, and how you can respond as well. So anyway, I want to lead us just in a word of prayer, asking God's blessing upon all those you've been impacted, and that God would just be with them in this day. Okay? Is that fair? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I come to you, and we come as a body of believers, and obviously there's the Bible says that we can boldly approach the throne of grace to receive help and mercy in time of need. And God, that's what we're doing. God, some of our fellow citizens and neighbors have been impacted here and around North Texas, and really in so many ways around America. And God, we just want to pray for them in these moments, and to pray in agreement with one another as believers in Christ, as the body of Christ, and to pray in your name, and God, ask you to bless them as only you can. And God, you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think. And God, I'm not even sure exactly how to say it on their behalf, but that's what the Holy Spirit helps us with. He intercedes with our prayers and just goes to the Father. And God, what those people need, God, may you bless them and provide for them. And God, use us as a church, as believers, just to be available, to reach out, to let them know and let anyone know that we want to help, just be a part of the whole healing process and all of that. And God, we just pray for them, each and every one of them. And God, just encourage them, meet their need, their needs in every way. And God, just may somehow, some way through this event, may people be brought to faith and people be blessed. And may we be a blessing to them. And we just ask and pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, the passage today is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And the assignment is, the message is, singleness. And we've entitled this, The Gift of Singleness. Now, I actually called Connor when he asked me to fill in and say, what do you want me to preach? And to think, you know, it's Memorial Day weekend. And I knew this was the scheduled topic, but I was hoping he would have something else I could preach. And he said, no, I want you to go ahead. It's on the schedule. I want you to do singleness. And of course, I'm thinking on the inside, oh. Of course, I said, oh, yeah, for sure, man, I'll do it. I'd be happy to do it. But, you know, really, I guess I'm confessing here. I don't really know what I'm doing. And I trust the Lord and just I'll throw it out there. But, you know, being single, you know, I thought about this. All of us start life that way, right? I mean, I was single for the first 23 years of my life. And I got married, and of course, I've been married now for 48 years. And, you know, someone said this, it's how we begin life single, and chances are it's how we're going to end life as well as a single. And I know I've already seen today some precious widows and widowers here in this place that I did their funerals, and they've been married for years, and now they're single again, widowed. But this message, and of course, 1 Corinthians 7 is one of the great passages in the Bible about a subject. And there are some passages in the Bible that just God just gives us just a lot of instructions about one subject. And you know, spiritual gifts is in 1 Corinthians 12 and 14. It's a huge passage about that. And there's others as well. Well, this is on marriage. And Paul speaks about marriage. He speaks about singleness, being single. He speaks about sex and how obviously God always wants his people to be pure and godly and Christ-like and be pure, be holy, even as Jesus is holy. Matthew 5 just reminds us. And so, but he can give some real strong instructions about singleness. Actually, three great words I think are in this thing. One is this. Here's my idea of the whole deal. That singleness is good. Now, someone out there may disagree with that immediately. Says, no, it's not. But being single is good. Being single is a gift from God. I'm sure someone else said, no, it's not. No, I can't accept that either. But it's a gift from God. And being single is to be used for the glory of God, as everything is to be used for the glory of God. Now, I was also thinking about this, about the singleness. And obviously, it isn't just this message, I'm hoping, it isn't just for those who are single. And put that in your blank in your life, and it's where you are. And of course, either it's good, it's bad. You know, someone said some people are single and glad, some people are single and sad, and some people are single and mad. Well, I don't know where or what, but I want this message to be more than just a message from God's word about being single, not being married, being where you are in life in that sense. Because in one sense, you know what? All of us got something in that blank. I'm not single. I'm married, but you know, I got things in my life. I've got struggles in my life. I've got challenges that many singles express. This is true in my life. Well, the fact is, all of us have something in our life that's a struggle. And I just wanted to remind us, you know, our God is good. And where I am in life, wherever it is, God wants to do something good in us, for us, and then through us to the world, regardless of what's our condition or circumstances happen to be in life, married or single, stutterer or not a stutterer. You know, I look at all this and just think, you know, I take my situation, stutterer, well, you know, God's good. Well, I could say, well, he's not all that good. He made me stutter. Why would a good God do that? Well, that's the answer of faith. Well, it's a gift. I've said a thousand times, hey, my stutter, it's not a gift. It's a thorn in my life. But you know what? God says, no, it's not. I want you to realize this. Hey, that stutter is the thing I want to use in your life to make you who I want you to be, to prepare you for a future and a hope, is what he wants to say. Your singleness, you think, is a curse. It's actually a blessing. It's something awesome God wants to do in your life and through your life. Now, I want to start with just, and I really have already used up some of my time, but five myths about being single. Just five thoughts. Here's one myth. Singleness equals your identity. Hey, singleness does not identify. Now, it's all right to identify, use the word single to distinguish someone who's not married. But a person is more than their marital status. If you are or are not, that's not who you are in Christ. Hey, as a child, and you know, as I can describe my whole life as a stutterer. Hey, I'm inferior. I'm not as good as you. I'm all this. Hey, that's not true. That's a myth. It's not the word of God. The fact is, we have been made, you have been made in the image of God regardless of your circumstances here in this life. You're created by him. You have great worth and value to him. He created you. He loves you. He's got a plan for your life. He's got value and dignity, married or not. Whatever your situation is, we're saved, forgiven, child of God, made new in Christ, given a purpose in life to live for the glory of Almighty God. We have a forever home, and we have a family here amongst us, brothers and sisters in Christ. Hey, that's not my identity. Second idea is this. Marriage is the only God-ordained lifestyle. No, it's not. That's not true. Some people think God's preference is that everybody gets married. Now, obviously, most people do get married. And marriage is ordained by God. But we're going to see this in 1 Corinthians 7. Being single is also ordained by God. Nothing wrong with that. And a bunch of people in Scripture, in the Bible, were single. Jesus was single. John the Baptist was single. Daniel, Jeremiah, Elijah, Naomi, Anna, Mary Magdalene, Martha and Mary, Miriam, Dorcas, Lydia, all were single. The ultimate is this. Hey, marriage is not the ultimate in life. Now, it's a wonderful thing. It's a God-ordained thing. But the ultimate thing in life is Jesus. That's what the Bible says, Matthew 6:33. Hey, don't spend your life seeking this, whatever it is. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek Jesus. Seek him, and all these things will be added to you. We allowed and get that mixed up in another way. A third thing is this. The grass is always greener on the other side. That's a myth. Now, I guess it can be, but it doesn't mean it will be. Some singles believe if they could just get married, everything would be solved. It would be better. And you know what's sad? Some married think, if I could be single, life would be better. Well, of course, that's not the way it's supposed to be either. But our point is, it isn't always better on the other side. You know, somebody said this, and I'm not exactly sure who it was. Actually, it may have been me. I'm not sure. But somebody said that the only thing worse than being single and alone is being married and alone. It's worse. What's worse, having no spouse or having the wrong spouse? It's that idea. Here's number four, myth. My life plus someone else equals happiness. Of course, I hope a culture communicates that. If I could just find the right person, I would be happy. I just need someone I can find somebody. You know what? We spend in this culture and in our life, it's just. It's so easy to go through your whole life and you're never satisfied with where you are. Never satisfied with, I got to have more. Always wanted to have more. And just, if I could just get to that next whatever, next relationship, whatever it is, I'd be happy. The fact is, the bottom line fact is, God created us with a hole in our heart, yes. But that hole is not filled by stuff and by things. That hole is filled by relationship with God through his son, Jesus Christ. That's why Paul makes that amazing statement in Philippians 4:11, he says, I've learned in whatever situation I'm in, whatever, single, married, stutterer, struggler, this, that, or whatever it is, I've learned to be content who I am in Christ. And then five, singleness produces loneliness while marriage produces intimacy. That's a myth. If you're not in a relationship, you are lonely. You know, the fact is, and if you're married, you're never alone. Well, you know, the fact is, there are many singles who obviously are not in a relationship, but they are not lonely. They have a fulfillment in their relationship with Christ and serving him. And there are many married people who are lonely. Submit. So, three things in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And in this passage, again, we could read the whole passage, and it's worth reading, it's worth studying, but just in the interest of time, we're just going to look at the verses, actually, 7 or 8 verses, which mention singleness and being single. And the three ideas are, as I've already mentioned, that it is good, it's a gift, and it can be used for the glory of God. That's the bottom line. So, Number one is being single is a good thing. Now, I know, I do enough counseling. I know people are saying, no, it's not a good thing. It's the greatest struggle in my life. And I'm going through this, and it's just hard. But look at these verses in 1 Corinthians. I want us to read, there's like six of them, five or six of them. 1 Corinthians 7, 1, look what this says. It says this, now concerning the matters about which you wrote, and listen to this, it is good for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. That's a biblical way of saying single, not in relationship. It is good, is what he says. Then verse 7 of chapter 7, Paul is writing this, and Paul says, I wish that all were as I myself am, which he's single. Paul is single. Now, some scholars believe he was married. He was probably a widow. We don't know that exactly, but he's single now. And because he's single, of course, he does all the amazing stuff he does. He's gone, all those missionaries and all that. But he says, I wish that all were as my self, he says, which he says it's a good thing. And then he says this in verse 7, but each has his own gift from God. Hey, to be married is a gift. To be single, it is also a gift, is what he's saying. One of one kind and one of another. Then verse 8, he says this to the unmarried and the widows. I say this, it is good for them to remain single even as I am. It's good, is what he says. And then verse 17, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him, be it marriage or be it singleness, and to which God has called him, whatever it is, he says. And then verse 24, he makes this statement. So, now brothers and sisters, in whatever condition each was called. Hey, he was saying, if you're single, stay single. You don't have to marry. And if you're married, obviously stay married. But let him remain with God in that relationship, in that thing. Then verse 26, I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is. If you're single, stay single. Again, he says, it's good. It's a good thing. And then verse 40, he says this, yet in my judgment, she is happier. He's speaking of a woman who's been widowed. He said she is happier if she remains as she is, single. All of that simply says being single, you know what, it's good. Now, it's fascinating. In the Old Testament, in the Jewish culture, in the first century, the Jewish scholars actually believed it was actually a sin not to get married. It was wrong to be single because the Jews back then had this huge idea. You know, it says in Genesis 1, the Bible says, hey, be fruitful, multiply, and fill the earth and all that stuff. And so the thinking is, hey, if you aren't doing that, you're not doing what God wants you to do. You can't be single. But, you know, Paul said that's not true. It's a good thing to be single. Nothing wrong with that. And the word good means acceptable, excellent, beautiful, honorable, and in one sense, it's a blessing. It may be God's will. Now, it's good. He says it's good. So if you're single, hey, you don't have to worry about if it's good. It is good. It's a blessing. And there are some people, as Paul was, who had the gift of singleness, and they live as a single and find their fulfillment totally in serving Jesus Christ. But the point is, hey, our God is a good God. He wants to do good things for you in the midst of you. And even in this time in your life, if you are single, God wants to do something good in the midst of this season. So it's not, you may be waiting for what God has next, but you don't want it to be wasted. God wants to do something good in you. And you know what God, that's what God does. He takes the struggles in our life, whatever they are, and does something good in that. Now, I can see you don't believe me. So, you know what Jeremiah 29:11 says? God says, for I know the plans I have for you. God said, he's got a will for your life. He says, plans for wholeness, not for evil, to give you a future and a hope, something incredible he wants to do. And there's some great examples of that in the Bible. You know, the life of Joseph in Genesis. In fact, chapter 37 through 50. He was a favorite son. God gave him a dream. Hey, he's going to be a major leader and make a a major impact in the world, which ultimately he did, but there's going to be 13 to maybe 20 years where everything that happened in Joseph's life was bad. He gets sold into slavery by his brothers, ends up a slave in Egypt, ends up in prison, and just he can't get out even though he's falsely accused. And just it's 13 years of bad stuff. But in Genesis 50, verse 20, Joseph, he's looking at his brothers, makes this statement. He says, as for you, these guys sold him into slavery. As for you, he says, you meant evil against me. All this was bad, but God, he says, meant it for good. To bring about that many people should be kept alive as they are today. God is going to use this for good. And then Romans 8:28. Of course, everybody knows 8:28, one of the great verses in all the Bible. It speaks of the same thing. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for what? For good, for those who are called according to his purpose. All things, he says. The good things, the bad things, the struggling things, the ups and downs, all things. God used. And we don't understand that. I don't understand how my stuttering is going to be a good thing. But you know, in this whole deal, and hey, it just between me and you, it's still a struggle. Hey, it's still hard. Man, the first service, I told Rick after Rick comes up and talks to me, I said, man, I struggled through the whole thing. I did struggle through the whole thing. I stuttered as much in the first service as I stutter in a while. And I mean, this is awful. Why is it a good thing? Because our God has a good thing he wants to do in us. God is good, and God is good all the time, and all the time our God is good. It's what Paul says in Philippians 1:12. Hey, he makes this amazing statement. He says, I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me. Now, he makes that statement. What's happened to him when he's making this statement? He's had 2 years of disaster. Started up in Caesarea Philippi. He gets arrested in jail, transferred to Rome, on a ship, shipwreck. He almost dies there. He swims. He saves everyone on the ship. He gets on the island. Now he's in prison. He always wanted to go to Rome to preach the gospel as an evangelist, great crusades. He goes as a prisoner, chains to guards, but he says this, all that's happened to me has really served to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 12, 1 and 2, that amazing statement where Paul says this, I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You surrender your life to Jesus. You trust him. You just follow him in your life, which is holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that, in order that, by testing, that simply means, hey, you trust God and all this. You just follow him. And all the stuff that's going to happen, all the struggles, all the testing, all the things you go through, all the stuff you think is bad in your life, right now, all the tests, you may discern what the will of God is. And God's will ultimately is going to be what? Good, acceptable, and perfect. Because that is God's will for your life. You know what? God loves you. God wants only the best for you. And the end result is, you know what? I got to remind myself, my God is good, and I can trust him in the midst of this situation. You know, it's a little bit of just, hey, what does the Bible say about our God? Of course, it says all kinds of things, but you know, our God's good. That's what the Bible says. Our God is sovereign. He's in control. He's above everything. He's working in the midst of everything, and he's faithful. Our God is faithful. Our God knows what is best. So you know what? Now I can look back over my life and think, as a kid, I would never have chosen this stuttering. You know what I realized? Hey, it's become, and this sounds stupid, it's become a thing. I'm kind of rejoicing, not totally, I still have moments when I have that, but you know, I'm kind of rejoicing in being this guy right here, because our God knows what's best. Our God forgives, he cleanses, he makes new. He will never leave us or forsake us. Our God's mercy endures forever. God loves me, he loves you with an everlasting love, a steadfast, loyal love that's unconditional. He's working out his plans for me. He's got a plan for me, in me. And it's going to be good through me, through the world. His Holy Spirit indwells us. Jesus is alive today. He's real. And he will return one day. I can trust him. Our God is good. And he wants to do something good in me. You know, what is the a good thing? Well, you know what the good thing ultimately is? It's conforming us to the image of his son, Jesus. Romans 8. 28, which I just read, verse 29 says, the purpose of the whole thing is that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. Image of Jesus. He wants to do something in me. And you know what's amazing? Of course, I do the same thing. We all do this. I'm praying that God will change the circumstances in my life. Now, how did I say this? This is what we're getting right. God is not at work in my life producing the circumstances I want in my life. God is at work in the midst of the circumstances, good, bad, or ugly. God's at work in the midst of all things, producing the me he wants me to be. You know, you're in a waiting season in your life, hoping for a relationship, hoping for something down the road. You know what? The best strategy is you just follow after Jesus and let him accomplish in you everything he wants to accomplish in you. The best way to be ready for someone down the road is you be everything God wants you to be. And you know what? When you're looking for a mate, you don't want anybody else who doesn't want God to be everything they want you to be in their life, just like you do in your life. You know, somebody said this. I don't know who said this. I know it wasn't me because I heard this someplace. But somebody said this. Hey, how do you find a mate? Hey, here's a good way to do it. You just run after Jesus as fast as you can, just pursuing him. And then as you're running after Jesus with all your heart, soul, mind, you look to your right, look to the left. And if you see somebody running as fast after Jesus as you are, why don't you stop and say, hey, would you like to get a coffee sometime? That's not a bad way to do it. Now, you can always find somebody. In this world, it's the easiest thing in the world to find somebody, but you don't want somebody. You want God's man, God's woman. That's always a miracle. You just trust him because I knew something good in you. And you know what else? He's doing something in you right now, whatever your circumstances are, because in the end, he wants to do something so incredible in you that's so good that it becomes your witness, your testimony to the world. And then three, it's going to bring honor and glory to him. That's our God. He is. Second thing is this, real quick. It's a gift. You think, no, I don't think it's a gift. No, it's a gift. Verse 7 says that. Each has his own gift from God. Your situation, whatever it is, it's a gift. Now, obviously, that word gift is the same word Paul uses in 1 Corinthians 12 through 14. About spiritual gifts. And there's like 13, 14, something, spiritual gifts. God gives. Grace gifts. He gives to bless us, help us build up the church, and be a witness to the world, to manifest how great our God is as the world sees the work God is doing in us and through us with that gift. It's the same word he uses here. Hey, the gift of marriage, that's a gift. If you're married, man, use that for the glory of God and just maximize it. Amen. Love your wives the way Christ loved the church and gave him his forth and all that. Hey, wives, love your husband and respect him and all those things there. But if you're single, man, just be faithful right where you are because God has given this as a gift to you to be a blessing in your life and through your life. You know, just I want to read this passage of Scripture because this is such a huge blessing in my life. 2 Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, Paul is speaking about this. He's actually speaking about a thorn in his life. He has something in his life he's asking the Lord to take away. He's got a thorn. You know what? Every one of us has something like that, a thorn, something. Put it in the blank, whatever it is. Mine, it was stuttering. Of course, it's other things as well, but it was mainly stuttering. You was something, and yours may be, it may be being single. It may be what it is, but it's something. Now, Paul had a thorn. And Paul actually says, a thorn was given to me, end of verse 7, 2 Corinthians 12, in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from being too elated. Three times I asked the Lord about this, that it should leave me. He had this thing in my life. He didn't like it. He said, Lord, take it away. Just remove it and be. Obviously, God can do that. But here's what God said to him, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. For my power is actually made perfect in your weakness. He says, in your weakness, that's why this is a gift, because this gift, your weakness, the reason it becomes a gift, because you're going to discover my power in the midst of this weakness, whatever the weakness is, whatever the struggle is, being married or single, stuff, whatever it is, you're going to discover my power in a supernatural way and my peace in all of this with the supernatural and my purpose with the midst of all of this. You're going to experience that in my, because God says, I am sovereign, I am God, I'm in control, you can trust me in all these things. So Paul says, realize that, hey, I'm going to experience the grace of God in my life. His power is going to be manifested in my weakness, through my weakness. And the end result is, Paul says, therefore, knowing all of that, I will boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Hey, give Christ the glory for this situation. And I do that, listen to this phrase, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Now, let that sink in for a moment. What do I need in my life just to handle life? I need the power of Christ to rest upon me, to dominate me, to fill me, to bless me, to give me his peace, his purpose when I don't know. I can't understand. I can't explain this. I don't like this. Everything hurts. It's all of that. But what happens is God comes in, a good God who loves us, comes in and that power rests upon us. You know what? I think I can get through just about anything. If the power of Christ is resting upon me. How does he rest upon me, Paul says, when I boast in my weakness, when I realize it's him. And so he says this, for the sake of Christ, I'm content with weaknesses, with insults, with hardships, with persecutions, with calamities, with being single, with stuttering, because when I'm weak, then I am strong. It's a gift. You know, I realized somewhere back there, this whole stuttering thing is not a thorn. It's a gift. It's the thing God has used to make me like Jesus, to help me be a witness to the world and tell the story of what he's done in my life, which is an incredible story. We all have one. And to bring honor and glory to him. And third, being single is a way to bring glory to God. It's what 1 Corinthians 10:31 reminds us. Hey, whatever you do, eat or drink, whatever you do, you're all the glory of God. Whatever situation you are in life, the ultimate is not being single. The ultimate is not being married. The ultimate, whatever it is, I'm here for the glory of God and the good of others. In the book, Sacred Singles, Suzanne Gosselin writes this. Listen to this. I loved her last statement of this. Lead the life God has assigned to you. Sometimes your assignment is difficult, but knowing that your singleness is sacred should embolden you, should empower you to live life for him. Then she says this. What if your singleness is not the problem? It's the point. You know, Jesus faced a situation going to the cross. And he knew the suffering he was going to take. And he even asked the Lord, Lord, let this cup pass from me. Just like Paul said, Lord, is there any other way? And God had to say, hey, this is the point of the whole thing. This is my will. Even though it's going to be suffer, but through this, I'm going to do an incredible thing in you, and I'm going to save the world as a result of what takes place on this cross, death, burial, and resurrection. It is a gift. You know, it changes everything. Now, obviously, you can decide. I don't know. I've said obviously about 25 times, and I never use that word. But obviously, for some reason, I did this morning. I just thought of that. Hey, we all got stuff. All got things we're facing. Question is, what am I going to do? Am I going to drink? That's an option. Am I going to find anybody who just fill that void, do whatever? Am I going to work on it? There are 1,000 things. Or you can decide. And yes, this is by faith, yes. You decide, you know what? I'm going to turn to God by having faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who left heaven, who came to earth, who died on a cross for me that I could be forgiven and cleansed, made new in Christ. He rose again, which is the power of Almighty God working. And that power that rose up Jesus from the dead is the power that can rest upon me. That's why it's a gift. You know what? I'm going to fall. So the first thing, what are you doing this? Hey, I'm going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to believe in who he is, and who I am in Christ, and I'm going to trust him. Two, find your status in Christ. It's who we are. I am who I am in Christ. Inside, you're going to be faithful. And third, focus on the sufficiency we have in Jesus. Jesus is the great I am, which simply means he's got everything we need. He is all that we need. And you know what? It's that old thing, Jesus plus nothing equals everything. He's all that you need. It's who he is. And then fourth, what do? Just faithfully follow Jesus. You know, the Bible says you may be in the worst spot in your life, but God says, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you, to give you wholeness, not for evil, but to give you a future and a hope. You think it's over. It's not over. There's a future and a hope. You think there's no good thing coming. There is, because our God says, I want to give you a future and a hope. It begins. And we say, I'm going to trust Jesus, the shepherd. He's going to lead me through everything, even through the valley of the shadow of death. I'm trusting him. Singleness and life is a gift from God. It's good. And I'm going to use it for his glory. Would you bow your heads just for a moment? As we always do here, we're going to give a time of invitation. You know what? We've worshiped. I have preached, probably not very well, but as best I can do. You've heard. Now is the time to respond. It's a time just to respond to God, who he is, what he said to you this morning. Maybe there's a man and a woman here, a boy or girl, who just knows, you know what God said to me? I need to believe in Jesus. I need to accept him as my Savior. You know what? If that's you, just ask him in right now. And then when we stand and sing in a moment, why don't you just come forward and just tell one of our ministers, you know what? Today, I'm trusting Jesus. Just like those two guys who were baptized. I want to believe in Jesus. Most of us in this room, I know you've trusted Jesus. You know him as your Savior. But the fact is, the circumstances are just overwhelming around us. You know, the fact is, God's work in you is greater than anything happening around you. You just recommit your life to Christ. Just to follow him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Just to love him. Just to walk in holiness. Just to do life God's way. If you're going to make a renewed commitment of your life, and it's such a big deal, why don't you come forward and just let's pray with you in these moments. I know there's some who just, you need a church, you need a place to plug in. You know, everyone needs a church family. You need a home family, a family, an eternal family, and you need a church family. Why don't you come and just unite here? God, I'm asking you to speak and to say what you need to say to every heart, every life in the room, anybody watching online. God, may you say what only you can say, and may we respond. And someone who needs to come forward today, let this be their time, their moment. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand?